Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth from Life on Fire TV. I'm here with my main man, Jeremy Batts, up in the house. And today's been really cool because I think we've all heard about network marketing. I think we've all heard about MLMs and things like that. And typically they sometimes give people a bad taste. And so it was network marketing is where I got my first start as an entrepreneur. I've got so much respect and love for it. And we're gonna share with you a guy who is not only crushing it with network marketing, which is a great business model for some people, but he's also doing it in a way that is helping so many people, not only with their health and fitness goals, but with their monetary and revenue goals. So you're gonna hear from a guy who is making a nice, hefty six-figure revenue with network marketing. And for anyone that's interested in that line of work, this will be a great episode for you, so stay tuned.
Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here, and I'm a kick-ass business coach, and I'm on an absolute mission to help you find your purpose in life, to help you love what you do for work every single day, to help you be the rock star that you are meant to be, to make more money than you ever thought was possible, and to have more time freedom so you can actually enjoy the life that you're living. I'm here to help you set your life on fire.
All right, welcome back. And so we're just here outside my place. We haven't been outside. We're trying to spice it up. And so we're just hanging live just on the back deck here. And and so we got Jeremy in town. And so where are you from? Give us the background.
Yeah. So grew up in Buffalo, New York, and lived there for up until I was about 21, and went to college in upstate New York, and moved to Rochester, New York, which is still upstate New York.
Yeah.
Snow Belt.
You ever go to Saratoga horse races?
Haven't been there, no. No.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
No, never been to Saratoga, but then about a year and a half ago, I smartened up and moved south and live in Charleston, South Carolina now.
So don't have an accent yet, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll have him back next year.
I've been working on it. I've been working on it. I get a little southern twang.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well with a lisp, you know?
All right, so we got a southern belle here. And so I think what's cool is where I'd like to start today is about a little bit about your journey. So I really like to provide the actual, you know, tangible steps and techniques, things people can do, action steps from these sessions. But your journey is something that resonates with me, and I think will for a lot of people. It's a story of a guy, you know, really in pursuit of your purpose and your passion. So so bring us back to the enterprise days and your corporate days, and then we'll catch up to today.
Yeah, so I had went to school and got a college degree and got out of college and looked in the bank account and had 15 bucks left and realized that I should do what everybody else was doing and I should go out and get a job. And so I went and got this management training program and started to work up the corporate ladder. And I loved it. You know what I loved about
this is Enterprise, right?
Yeah, at Enterprise. And what I loved about that was the fact that, you know, they gave you a lot of responsibility and the fact that they allowed you to push and work hard, and if you worked hard, you could reap those, you know, some of the financial benefits that were there. Kept working up, 7.5 years, got up to a regional director position.
Which is a big deal. I interned at Enterprise. I was just telling Jeremy, I interned there. Like, that's a big deal to get up that high in that company. Yeah. It's not easy.
No, it was. It got to a point where I was managing a lot of employees and. Mm-hmm.
How many hundreds of employees?
A couple hundred employees. And it had been so vested into their business and what they had going on, but got to the point that, you know, I kept moving up these corner offices and, you know, grinding hard.
Yeah.
You know, got and found myself at 27 years old, making a real good living, but.
Six-figure living.
Strong six-figure living, and with company car, company gas card. But the true reality was that wasn't the life that I was looking to live.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't see myself working 75, 80 hours and being that out of shape and that stressed and that unhappy for the next 40 years of my life. So, you know, something really just clicked, and, you know, I made a pretty drastic move and decided that was it.
And before the drastic decision that I think for anyone that's in a corporate job or even that as an entrepreneur that's doing something that you don't like doing, there's a couple things in that I think are just crazy, a couple very key factors. And so tell us, if you're open to it, tell us about the fiance situation and what happened there.
Yeah, I was dating this girl for about 4 or 5 years through that process and, you know, decided that it was about time that it was, to get engaged. That's what everybody else was doing. And I kept feeling this pressure from outside influences and got engaged. And about
women
six
never
months
pressure for that.
So. No, you know, it wasn't even her as much as it was like, right, you know, everybody else.
Was it your mom?
My mom.
She
my
like,
mom was definitely my
married.
Yeah. Like, hey, when aren't we going to get any grandkids soon and stuff? So, but no, make a long story short, because I was so married to my job, yeah, and not my potential wife, she left me and she mm-hmm. walked away. And I don't blame her at all because, you know, I was so married to what I had going on. I remember it pretty clearly. There was a Friday night that, mm-hmm. you know, I had gotten home from work and my tie's a little loose and, you know, I had just worked a long week and it was end of month. And I remember she was like, hey, you want to go to, you know, Basil, or you want to go out to eat? And, you know, I was like, honey, it's Friday night. I'm
Are
like, I got work to do. Like, I'm 27 years old. Of course, I got to do this work and stuff. So it made me realize that, hey, dummy, like, that's not what you want, you know? And that mm-hmm. was, that's not the life that you were set out to live. So.
And I think that what's, to me, what's just crazy about that situation is I think that there's so many of us that we get so engrossed in what we think we're supposed to do. Or it might be someone else's dream that we're living, or like, you know, getting married or having kids because you're, people around us are pressuring us to do that. And it takes that like shovel to the head, which is the fiance leaving. Or, yeah, you know, in my case, I was like, you know, had a business that failed and 50 grand in debt. And it was like, how am I going to pay my bills? But it's like that, it's that shock to the system that's going to get us in alignment to finally pursue what we enjoy. So,
yeah.
So you had that shock to the system. The fiance walks out of your life.
Yeah.
And then, so what happened from there? How'd you recover?
Yeah. Well, at first it was shock, you know, it was, you know, life is over, like, what am I, like, 27 years old,
yeah,
like, how am I going to recover from this? And it took a couple months to kind of find myself again, mm-hmm. you know, and after we had been dating for almost 5 years.
Wow.
So it was, it definitely took me a couple months to get back on my feet and to find out who I, you know, who I was and, you know, kind of get that back. And decided that, you know, it was kind of a revelation and a reflection period that kind of made me realize that being where I wasn't where I could see myself mm-hmm. 40 years down the road. So started, you know, pouring into, you know, reading some books and, you know, started to listening to other people on audio CD. I think it might've been tape by that at that point, but
as the old 40 school tape. Ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, a couple months, finally it kind of clicked that I wasn't meant to be in corporate America and I wasn't meant to be living this life of just, the same thing week in and week out.
Yeah.
Like it was time for me to explore. So kind of went out and made a pretty drastic move and a pretty impulsive move. I was so hungry to leave that job because I hated going to work every day.
And let me tell you, there's nothing quite like selling car insurance.
Yeah,
I did it. I sucked at it.
Yeah.
I was never high up on the matrix, and it was like, I just couldn't get people to want to buy it. They're like, but I don't need it. I'd
yeah.
be like, oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it's
true. But I get promoted if you
yeah,
buy it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Do it for me.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell, and it's just, and it's a, the company, it's an impressive company, but it's like,
yeah,
you know, I think that this, it's a bigger thing. You know, we always talk about purpose and alignment, and you know, you're looking at it and saying, is this really what you're on this earth to do? Is it your God-given calling? You
right.
know, and you had that shock to the system, and then, And so what was the pivot?
Yes, I mean, I was so hungry for change, which probably isn't healthy either, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be so hungry for change. Looking back on it, made that drastic move, and I wouldn't trade anything for the world,
yeah.
don't get me wrong, but there were definitely some speed bumps along the process. So, like I said, so hungry for change, I decided that, you know what, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I wanted to live the American dream, I wanted to go out and build my own business, and went out and bought a gym.
Went out and bought a job.
But yeah, I bought a job. Seriously,
yeah.
This gym had about 9 gyms within 2 miles of it. You know, I loved it. It was something that I could see myself doing. But the true reality was, I was still just owning a job,
yeah.
and I was working 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. The only difference was where before I was making money,
yeah.
now I wasn't making any income. So kind of threw that out the window.
And like, I think that's what's just awesome about this story and the journey is that, I mean, it's like Robert Kiyosaki has the cash flow quadrant where it's like you're an employee and you're trading time for money for someone else. But then below that is the S quadrant where you became self-employed. So you bought a gym, but really you bought a job and technically you're making less. You were making less, you know, and that's a common theme for entrepreneurs is like, oh, I'm going to break free from what I don't love to do and I'm going to buy a franchise or jump into something, but you know, and then end up making less and working more.
Yeah.
So what happened from there?
Well, I mean, I loved it. You know, I loved the people and realized that I wanted to work with people, but it wasn't a vehicle that was going to kind of allow me to reach my dreams and give me the financial security that I was looking for. So, you know, I put everything I had into it, all the money I had saved up. I invested into this business just to try to make it profitable. And 6 months into it, I hit rock bottom. You know, I got humbled and it was time for Big Boy to swallow his pride and ego and realize that, you know what, as much as I love the gym, that wasn't what was gonna, you know, build my financial future and stuff like that. And at that point, you know, I was hindering on about $20,000 in credit card debt. 2 months behind on my car payment, 2 months behind on my mortgage. I was starting to get letters in the mail for, you know, being foreclosed on and things like that. And that's when I realized I had to move out of my house. You know, I had a 4,000 square foot house. I still have it now, but thank God. But I had a 4,000 square foot house. I had to move out of the house and moved into the basement of my gym, man. And that, you know, some single guys would be like, that's cool, man. No, there was nothing cool about that. Like, it was going to bed every night, you know, just wondering what
next
you're doing.
To a couple racks of 45.
Yeah. Waking up every
cold
morning.
Cold 45.
Yeah. Steel 45.
He's using like dumbbells as pillows.
Yeah. Waking up every morning to people deadlifting, to Leonard Skinner and Nine Inch Nails on the radio, and man, it was that was when, you know, God really shook me and said, you know, like, hey, you know, you're meant to do more. And the room was not much bigger than, you know, 12 by 15.
Ouch.
It was no cable TV, nothing. And that was a tough time in my life. That was about 3 years ago.
3 years ago. So this is what's so cool about, you know, why I wanted to bring Jeremy on here with Life on Fire TV is because you're talking about major transition, major change in 3 years. And, you know, a lot of people knock network marketing, a lot of people knock, you know, business models. For me, that's where I started in network marketing in college. And I did really well in college and then moved out of that into other things and failed a whole bunch of times. But this is one of the stories that not only are you doing great, but you're helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
So you're at the lowest point. You're sleeping on 45s and dumbbells.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what happened? How'd you get out of that?
Yeah. Well, it was time for me to swallow my pride, and you know, at that point, I was willing to try anything but network marketing. Like, I didn't want
everything but network.
Yeah. I was like, I got introduced to network marketing, and the first thing I said is, you know, buddy, I love you, man, but you know, I'm not into, like, I don't have a big gold chain with, I don't have a shirt, you know, that
with the
comes
Eagles
down.
And stuff,
the Eagles,
and the,
yeah.
Like the Affliction shirts.
Yeah. And I don't drive a Phantom, you know, and I don't carry around big checks. Like, I'm like, that's not really my style, you know. And so, you know, good for you that you're making, you know, what you're making, but, you know, I'm good on that. Even though at that point, $10 would have been great.
Yeah.
But I was real skeptical about network marketing. Yeah. I was coming from a corporate background. You know, the red flags were, you know, pyramid deal where, you know, the approach was so slimy, and it just made me so turned off by it. And, you know, hearing all the train wrecks about it. Mm. But, it did get introduced to me in a professional approach and a genuine approach, which was huge. So I decided to jump on this company's products first and try out their product.
And it was a personal friend that came to you?
A personal friend.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so I tried out these products, and I got great results on the products and immediately said, you know what, maybe not the business side isn't for me, but I can definitely tell some people about these products.
Sure.
You know, I can share these products, you know, I can help them get a little healthier and that kind of thing. And at that time I was training a bunch of clients, and they were having problems with their nutrition anyways.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, my phone starts ringing. Hey, can I get a couple more of these things? Can I get a couple more challenges? You know, and it made me kind of dawn on me that, you know, maybe it was time to look into this thing a little deeper, and maybe there was something of substance, and it was time for me to maybe get those self-imposed limitations out of my mind, because at that point I had been beaten up, you know, and I didn't want to get beaten up again, you know, that's the last thing I wanted. I just wanted to, I wanted to do good for other people and myself. And that's what the biggest kind of wall that was holding me back was the fact that, you know, I didn't want something
fail. You just failed basically and were beaten up. And the last thing you want to do is get excited about something and then go headfirst into a big failure or what have you. And and the failure rate in network marketing is very high. But what's interesting is that, you know, I just think that the downfall of so many network marketing companies is products that people don't want to repeat purchase. You know, so the fact that like you're a part of one that people were excited about, there's very, you know, I think that, and people wanted more. And so from there, you know, you took action on it and.
From there I saw a little bit of an opportunity, but still didn't see the potential. You know, I saw a little bit of an opportunity that I can make, you know, an extra $500 a month and, you know, maybe make my car payment and I could do this. You know, the cool thing was, is like, I could do this in conjunction with my gym, you know, like I could do it. You know, I was working at my gym long hours, still 60, 70 hours a week just to keep it afloat. Couldn't hire somebody else to come in and do the training because I couldn't afford it from the gym aspect of it. So I liked the aspect of the network marketing that I could do it on the side and I could just fill the gaps with what I had going on in life. And the first couple months, you know, kind of over, it blew away my expectations. You know, it was, it wasn't like one of those companies that I had to invest a bunch of money and then I was potentially going to lose it. It was cool because it was allowed me to small buy-in, but whatever effort I put forth, I reaped the benefits from that. You know, so a couple months in, you know, hit up you know, $500-$700 per month, and that was cool because that paid some car payments and. You know?
Which creates progress, and like what, no matter what the business is, it's like, it's from a coaching. It's like we're always just like drilling down. Like if you can start the new business and lead it with revenue, that creates the momentum and progress. Like so, you hit progress, you start making a few $100 a month, and then
I got excited. You know, I really did. I got excited, and I started to realize that network marketing was, you know, a real business, and it was. It had a lot of potential if it was done the right way, you know? So the one thing is, you know, I made sure that when I got involved in network marketing that I never lost who I was, you know? And I always made, you know, made sure I looked in the mirror and said, you know what, you're doing this thing the right way. And it's done real well for me, you know? 3 years later, you know, it's allowed me, you know, more options and flexibility than, you know, I've ever had in my life. And, you know, making more money now in a month that either one of my parents ever made in a year, you know, is absolutely incredible. And it only comes from being able to help a lot of people, you know, not only get healthy, but also, you know, get out of debt and things like that.
And I think one of the reasons, you know, big factors of, you know, having you on here today is just, it's just like, it's like the giver's heart. And that's why, like, it's growing so fast for you. And you look at, like, why are some people successful and why are others not in the industry? And I'd love for you to highlight just, like, you know, or, you know, things that I was just hearing today. So like, you know, Jeremy's one of our, you know, Firestarter Elite clients, which is awesome. So
we blowing it up or what?
Blowing it up.
All right, I don't even know.
So we're up
East
to,
Coast, 3 years behind California. I'm a little slower.
Handshakes are totally different. But we're up to, you know, up to big things, you know, and it's like, you know, how to, you know, not only have a life on fire, but you're helping other people live a life on fire. I mean, you're able to travel the world. You've got a big, you know, nice six-figure income, and it's like, you know, this guy's like, you know, here's about what we're doing in Guatemala, giving back, building a school. And he's like, how do I do that? Yep. You know, you're donating and so much to your church and others around you. And so as far as building a team, and I think that regardless of network marketing, I think hearing how you network and how you add value for the people on your team and like how you're giving to them, that being the purpose, I feel like that's why you're so successful. And if everyone had a little piece of that, of just that integrity and the heart behind it, I feel like there wouldn't be the stigma in network marketing. Like there wouldn't be entrepreneurs that are, you know, just so greedily, if that's even a word, greedily, so
sounds good to me,
greedy-ishly, like taken from people. So tell us a little about just like how you think about helping your team and how that's translated into business.
Yeah, number one, without a doubt, if they were to pitch me on the opportunity and how I can make boatloads of money and all that other stuff right up front, I probably would have turned and ran. You know, like if they would have pushed me to try to like make income doing this thing, I would have been so turned off that I would have ran away from an opportunity that obviously has changed my life. So the number one thing, without a doubt, is I've learned, just because through personal experience, I've learned that you got to meet people where they're at, you know, and everybody has different comfort levels.
Yeah.
And the one thing I love about this company is I can meet people, whether they're just looking to get, you know, healthy and get in better shape, or if they're looking to make a little bit of extra money, or if they're making to look make a huge lifestyle change and make a lot of extra money. I meet people where they're at, you know, and I never try to persuade or push or encourage somebody who doesn't want something. You know, not everybody sees the same vision as me, and our visions are a little different, and everybody's got their own vision. And what I've learned is in this business, when we have our own self agenda, we lose, and our agenda should be coming second to everybody else's agenda.
And I think like where I see some parallels is like, you know, in my shoes as a business coach, it's like my value is success stories. So it's like the more people I can help become successful or become more successful or have a more balanced life, that's what's going to ultimately make me successful. And the cool thing is the same thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I started talking about like the team and the dynamics. And so you were saying that you've got, you know, 9 people making 6 figures.
Yeah.
And it's like when you look at all the ways to strategize to grow more business, does it make sense to do all this online advertising or marketing? And really, it's part of you investing your time into your team, you know, and helping them. And that's what ultimately helps you, which is cool.
Right. Yeah, it's I love that. Now that I've been in it for 3 years, 3.5 years, I actually respect the business model.
Yeah.
And the overall concept of it, you know, after I was able to get some of those self-imposed limitations down, I love the business model that for a very, very small, minimal amount, I could start my own business, and all the marketing and advertising and payroll and liability and insurance and all that stuff was already taken care of for me. Mm-hmm. So all I really had to do was help people.
Sure.
And when I knew that was my number one purpose was to help people, you know, things got real simple, and it got duplicatable, and it got, you know, it was able to build, you know, fairly quickly because, you know, the approach was the right way.
What do you think, like, if we're, I think that what we just kind of talked about comes back. I mean, there's really networking is touched on there about, you know, giving first to people. It's like not the network marketer that goes to a chamber of commerce event and it's like pitching people, but instead getting to know them, how can you add value? You know, purpose, it's like you knew your purpose wasn't enterprise rent-a-car and you made that pivot, you know, and you looked at a bigger plan for yourself, and now you help people feel better and make more income. But how about mindset? Like what would you say is one thing that you've done or one thing that someone can do to have that winning mindset to get through all this stuff? You know, because you, for some entrepreneurs, it only takes one no, it only takes one business failure or one thing to get knocked out of the game.
Yeah.
So like, you know, what's something that you're doing as far as mindset?
Yeah. Well, at the bottom of any entrepreneur, we're entrepreneurs are problem solvers, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking at a problem that's out in the marketplace and we're providing a solution, you know? So one of the big problems we face just in terms of, you know, the market is, you know, people are struggling every day and suffering every day, you know? So the one big mindset I think that I had to overcome was the fact that it wasn't about me anymore, being an entrepreneur, it was about others. And, you know, it's kind of unique. I have to have the courage to introduce this opportunity, product, to somebody with an opportunity for them saying no, because I know it's in their best interest for me to introduce it to them.
Sure.
Like I could never imagine if my buddy didn't have the courage to introduce it to me when I was a, you know, and I'm sure he thought like, you know, this guy owns his own business, you know, like he's got it made. A lot of times people have that perception that entrepreneurs have this thing like this magic, you know, bank account, right? And, but the true reality is a lot of us we're suffering, and I'm kind of a brash New Yorker guy. Like I got a little bit of a ego and pride and still working on that. But I couldn't imagine if my buddy didn't have the courage for me to say no and to be like, don't ever come at me with that, you know? to not introduce it to me. And now every day I have to get that mindset back into reality, knowing that I might get told no, and entrepreneurs might get told no a lot, but it's not about us. It's about other people, you know? And to be able to fight through a lot of those no's, we can't do it personally. We have to do it because we're fighting for something else.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, I think like, I can translate back into, you know, as a business coach, it's like, you know, someone that maybe I could help, that I choose to not have the guts to like ask for the sale or even put it out there to someone that they could be a big success story or, you know what I mean? Or someone, that's a really cool way for perspective for you is that, you know, your whole life is radically different and you almost owe it to the person. So in your mind, it's like you're taking all the power away from a no and you're actually making it empowering. So it's like, how do you make that shift in your mind of, you know, what is it in your business? Is it a reframe of fear? Is it a reframe of how you look at, you know, cold calling or a task? It's like you're really just taking it and you're reassociating something that's scary, like having a conversation with a prospect that could say no and be upset, versus you're just attaching a different meaning to it.
Yeah.
That's what's funny about personal development, is that it's literally just taking something, an emotion we feel, and just swapping the meaning of it.
Yeah.
And if you change the meaning, it's like dominoes. It changes everything moving forward.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy.
Perspective.
So how about like, what would you say is one of the biggest factors of your success?
Yeah.
Something that like we could kind of like look at and translate it back to other businesses. Just a reason for success. You know, why are you successful right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you guys can tell, I'm nothing special. I grew up in a small town outside of Buffalo, New York, population of maybe 2,500 or 3,000. Mm-hmm. I'm like the average Joe, like the average farm boy, nothing special. But I would say, you know, a few things that I think have helped me to reach the success of where I'm at is number one, being able to swallow my own agenda and swallow my own pride in the betterment of somebody else and genuinely locking arms and with somebody and not just giving the BS answer of like, oh, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. No, we're going to struggle. We're going to have
being
some challenges.
Being honest marketer.
Being honest, you know, but locking arms and saying, you know what, we're going to stumble, but I'm going to stumble with you. And the fact that we're going to fight through that and we're going to get better and we're going to get, we're going to become professional at this. I think that's a huge trait that people who succeed have, you know, they're willing to go to battle with somebody. They're not somebody who is just going to say all the right things, but not do all the right things. I think being a good leader is leading from the front, you know, and showing people, not just telling people how to do it.
And in the true authenticity, it's kind of like, I mean, that's huge. I think the reason the industry has a bad rap is because of all it is expectations.
Yeah.
The industry has an expectation of like, you know, someone's like, hey, you know, here's a flashy car and you can have that too. And they make it look easy. When really, just like any business, it's hard work, it's time, it's persistence, you know, and you've got a giver's heart and that's helping to grow the business. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, every business has challenges. And it's kind of like, you know, on the business coaching, if I were to tell everyone it's going to be a walk in the park and you're going to make an extra $100,000, how's that going to serve us later? Right. And I think that's just one of the things to pull out of this, you know, a takeaway is that the more we can be transparent and authentic in our marketing or in our conversations or sales conversations, it may lead to more no's now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because people that don't hop in. But at the end of the day, what's so awesome is it leads to such better ideal clients and such more sustainable growth and foundation in the business.
Yeah.
Because it's like the internet marketer that says, you know, buy this $1,000 course and you're going to make, you know, $50,000 versus like we call our stuff challenges. And like when everyone's hyping or everyone's BSing or zigging this way, you know, we're examples of dudes that are just being super transparent.
It's real.
It's like, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
You know, like me being a business coach doesn't change the fact that being an entrepreneur is tough.
Yeah.
But like you said, someone to go through the trenches with you.
Right.
And what's cool, I mean, you know, people are getting you as a mentor.
Yeah.
And they're getting systems and tools to have a real business.
Yeah.
From a guy that's done it. Whereas, I mean, shoot, I charge a lot of money for coaching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, can you get you for $79, you know what I mean? So it's just cool. So that's a takeaway. So I think where I want to go with this too is just Someone wants to connect with you online. Mm-hmm. What's a good way to find you on Facebook, or what's the best way to connect?
Yeah, you know, I see a bunch of professionals come on here and they have their own Twitter pages. They have all this stuff. My personal Facebook page, Jeremy Batt, that's me, man. I'm as authentic as, you know, small town as they come.
That's it. Jeremy Batt on Facebook, and you can always go to lifeonfire.com to grab the show notes and all that good stuff and connect. And I'm excited to have you as a part of our community. He's one of our fire starter elites. The guy's just crushing it in this industry. And, you know, and it's so refreshing because you're doing so much good for your team and for your people. And it's a huge inspiration because there's a lot of people that love network marketing. And I think there's a lot of people that have that jaded perspective. Yeah. And it's not all, you know, it's all who you talk to, you know. Yeah. So I think it's a great example for anyone that wants to start the business, that can't buy a franchise, that they can't just come and be like a business coach or a consultant or an expert at something, you know, that you're living, walking proof of someone that just did it. You didn't pay your way to the top. You didn't have a big team that you moved in. It's like you just followed the actual model of talking to people and had good products and it worked. So super awesome. And one last thing, which is...
I wonder what this is going to be.
One thing that most people don't know about you.
I knew this was coming.
I know. It's funny. I always know whether someone watches the show or not because I ask the question and they're like, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was actually playing it through today. I'm like, do I pretend like I'm surprised or do I like, do I just like come out real quick? So I like to do good for people.
Yeah.
And I don't say this to brag or anything because I'm a big fan that what you do inspires others, right? And it has that ripple effect. But one thing nobody knows is every Thanksgiving, I go to the bank and I get out $1,000 cash and I dress up like a homeless dude. And I put in, I swear to God, and I get, I go to the thrift store and I get raggedy old jeans and I get a big old jacket, the whole thing. I put dirt on my face. And what I do is I go to the gas station and I will be sitting there and I'll be shaking my thing and making grunting noises and stuff like that. And anybody who comes over, and this is on Thanksgiving, anybody that comes over and puts money in the pot, I give them $100 cash.
Wow.
I got to tell you the story about this guy last year that did this. We're at a gas station and I'm shaking it and he had a couple kids in the back and he runs over and puts $5 in there. And he had a kind of a beat up old minivan. Mm-hmm. And it was, I get choked up even thinking about it. And I go, you know, and he dropped $5 in there. I go, hey buddy, I really don't need the money. And he goes, like, he was all surprised. And he goes, and I go, I'm actually, this is something I do is, you know, anybody that gives money.
What?
Yeah. He's like, what's going on? Am I on camera? And I go, anybody that gives money to this actually gets money. Like, you know, here's $100. I'm a business owner in the area. You know, business has been pretty good. I just wanted to give to you because you're giving. And he goes, he didn't believe it at first.
You had to sneak in the MLM pitch at some point.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So let me tell you about,
here's $100. Now let me tell you about
the want to be rich tomorrow? but the funny story is, the real story is this guy gave, and when I gave him that $100, he goes, bud, he goes, I don't know if you know this, but I don't get paid for another week. And we weren't going to be able to have Thanksgiving dinner for my kids, you know, because we couldn't afford this stuff. And I just thought, like, in my mind, I'm like, how real is that, right? We go through this life of, like, you know, we have things pretty good for us. But a lot of times, a lot of people don't, you know, that are struggling through life. Yeah. And it's not for a lack of heart or a lack of want or desire. Yeah. It's for a lack of not knowing how, you know. And that was one of the most special moments that I've ever had in my life was the fact the look on that guy's face. Because when he got that $100, he was able to go buy food after he already gave $5, you know. So... that was pretty special, and that's what that's where I know that my heart is just.
That's
I love
so
that
crazy,
stuff,
and like, and I just feel like, you know, the guy that gave $5, but he didn't have enough money for his own family, like that to me is just the power that there are good people out there, and like that's in my view, I think our view, like, that's God working where that guy had like this prompting to give $5, and yet, boom, he got rewarded with 100. And I that's hands down, Hey, what do you think? Hands down, the coolest I've ever heard as far as the end of the episode. So, dude, that's just so awesome. I think what's cool is in, you're a humble guy. I feel like there's so many entrepreneurs out there with egos, and it's like just to always maintain that and just always to maintain the values. And you're walking, you know, example of that. And, you know, like we do Pay It Forward Friday stuff, but it's like it's out there to set an example. Yeah. Like we've had some people beating us up saying like, oh, you're just doing to like grow. It has not done anything for us on the business side, but it's like no one's looking. You're out there giving. And I think just one takeaway I'm getting is that givers always gain. And it's always. Not, you never give to gain, but a giver's heart like this, it always comes back tenfold. And, you know, just here through that journey and then now to be up at the top and to be helping so many people, it's awesome. Yeah. So grateful to have you here. Grateful to have you in the community as a Firestarter Elite. Guys, go to lifeonfire.com. Tap into the comments, connect with Jeremy on Facebook, and definitely just connect, you know, online and stay plugged in. So if you thought this was cool, definitely comment and interact, and have a good rest of your day and set your life and business on fire.
I'm here to help you set your life on fire.